Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 31. The Bible verses are from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and they read, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. It's interesting for me whenever we do the 90 Days book, because it's almost like it's a journal for me, because this book was written in trying to help people who were, I had known in secular recovery. I had, as I said, I knew I had trouble with food very early on. I just had a different eye for food than most people did. My mother was, she was a good cook, and every Sunday she would make these little carbohydrate bunny things, you know, bread things, and I could smell them rising. You know, I wake up in the morning and I would smell them rising. And we were a family with five kids, and my dad was the only, he worked outside the home, and my mom, you know, took care of the kids. And she was an excellent money manager, because when I think about what my father made, I cannot believe that I never felt like I was poor, you know, or anything like that. And so, I look back now and I realize that, you know, we didn't have that much money or anything like that, but my mother, whatever we had, she managed it, very, very well. So all of this is to say that, food, in terms of, our meals, we had meal times. We had breakfast, which we was provided, you know, for us. We didn't eat all together as a family, but, you know, what we could eat was made known, and also the same thing for lunch. And at dinner, we did eat all together. And we were not allowed to just, snacking was not allowed. The only thing that we were really allowed to snack on was bread. When you think about it, it was like you could buy this loaf bread. And also, like I said, Sunday my mother made these little rolls, and they were available for it. And I can remember this very early, eating to the point of sickness. And I think back on it, it was like, ooh, that was something that was, the Bible talks about a besetting sin. You know, certain things that we continue, we look on our life and we realize, well, that was a problem a long time ago, a long way back, that was a problem. And so, yeah, this was definitely, you know, a problem with me. And so, what I was also saying is that, so when I look back in this book, this is like a journal of showing me how did I first come out of the food situation. Well, the first time I can remember trying to do something about my food is when when I learned how to read. I loved to learn. I was grateful when I learned how to read, and I would get books and I would read them. So whenever I had a trouble, I would just try to find a book about it and, you know, read about it. And when I got to puberty and I was having trouble with my weight, because I had not had trouble before that time because, like I said, my mother regulated what we could eat. And I could only eat so much. And also, I was very active outside. We played outside, like, that's what we did. We got our chores done, and we were outside for the rest of the day. You know, ripping and running, as my mom would say, with the other kids in the neighborhood. And that's what we did, and very, very active. And like I've said before, at puberty, two things happened. One is that my body was changing, the metabolism changed, but also I got less active because TV came into our home, as I remember it. TV, we didn't really have a TV, and we got a TV, and it was like mesmerizing. I remember even running home from school wanting to see certain things on the TV. And it was just that inactivity and all the other things that went along with that type of thing that happened. And so I had trouble with food. And so I got on my first little diet, and that was very helpful as long as it lasted. And then when I got older and had money, I started going to these weight loss places, you know, where I would pay so much per week, and they would weigh me in, and they had a plan that I would follow during the week. And that worked for a while. And then I found about a free way to lose weight and have the support of people like I had in that commercial place. And that worked for a good while. That was what people know as OA, or Overeaters Anonymous. And but then that stopped working. And then eventually I found about a little branch of Overeaters Anonymous at that time called Gray Sheet. And that was almost like, I felt like that was the answer. I thought that was the answer to all my difficulties, because I was given a food plan. I was given a community of people. And I was given a semblance of what people call spirituality, you know, that because when I was in OA, you know, and they even talked about that too. They had the 12 steps. And I was one that if you step it out with me, I have a good chance of succeeding. I wanted to see clearly what it was that I needed to do. And so I found that in Gray Sheet, and then I had a group of people who helped me and whatever. But this is one thing that I eventually found. So after about 4 years of this, my kids were growing, things were happening in my life, and I realized it was more to life. I could not solve all the problems of life by my food, and it was very important, though, that I kept my food clean, and so I didn't really want to go back on that, and the steps didn't make any, was not helping me, even though I was working them, because I knew that God had something to do with it, but I did not have that heart closeness that I see now. I have, you know, with God, because I did not understand salvation and the need to have my sin forgiven and cleansed. I didn't know that and understand that. And I was fearful that I was going to go back into the food. And I started asking people at meetings, what am I supposed to do? And they would say, you know, well, do inventories, do more. Well, I said, I am doing inventories. At that point, I was leading groups that did inventories. I wrote so many inventories, and like I said, I read the big book like it was like I read the Bible now. And I was underlining, I was going to step meetings, I was leading step meetings, I was doing all of the things that I was told to do. But I realized it. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I was laboring in vain. I was still abstinent and, you know, following the skills that I had. And I had that group of people. We were doing the same abstinence. And that was helpful to me, you know, at the time. But it was not helpful in terms of that anxiety and apartness that I could not get rid of, you know, whether I wrote more inventories or went to more step meetings or whatever. It did not go away. And God saw me struggling. And what he did is that he brought people who were, I call them now, authentic Christians. I was in a church, and yet I had no one who really, they did not even understand, as I look back, about salvation. And if they did, they were not walking in it. They were very social and very giving. You know, we had a soup kitchen and everything like that, but we did not have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we definitely were not about really showing people about making disciples out of all nations, because we weren't really involved in that. I believe that the Word is how we stay involved in that. And so I eventually found people who were in the Word. I found them on the radio. And I could not believe what they knew and how they spoke and what they taught about life. It was amazing to me. So amazing to me that when I went to work, I put a recorder on, because this was before internet and everything. I put a recorder on so that I could record what I missed when I wasn't there, you know. And then I would come home and I would listen to them talk about God's Word and and how important it was and how I needed to keep it, you know, in my life. And it was actually on that radio station that I heard the message of salvation. I heard the sinner's prayer, and I knew I needed Jesus. I needed a sin eater. I needed the Lord Jesus. And I knelt down at my desk in 1991, in the fall of 91, and asked the Lord to come into my heart. And it was like amazing. Very soon after that, I met a person through that liberal church. He was passing through, and we were talking, we got into a conversation, and he told me about his sister, an elderly sister, who read through the Bible every year. I couldn't figure out why would I want to read through the Bible? Why would I want to do that? But I couldn't let it go. And I started listening to the Bible, because we had four kids at that time, and we both worked outside the home, and I was in charge of the littlest one, and I would tie him to me, you know, like you wear, you know, you wear the children, you know, in that subway, me listening to my Bible for the day, drop him off at the daycare, and go on to my teaching job. And then I'd come home and fix dinner, and then I would look up what I had heard in the Bible, because I always heard something that meant something to me. And I wanted to see what it was and where it was written, because I had only heard it as I was walking to work. And that's eventually how I got through the Bible, you know, in a year's time. And I was still involved in the 12-step rooms, but I remember one of my sponsees, someone said to me, "What is happening to you? Whatever is happening, we want to know what is happening." And I kind of admitted, well, I was learning about the Bible, and they wanted me to learn. They wanted to learn about the Bible. And this is really how this ministry started. I got together some people. I can't even remember. I probably can go back in my files and see exactly who they were. I know a few who was on that those original meetings, which we now call the Phone Bridge Bible Study. But I would just, for 7 weeks, teach them whatever it was that I knew. As much as I could, I would look up things and teach them, and we would do a little Bible study together. And this is what the Bible study here is talking about. I realized as I was talking to them that I needed to memorize God's Word. It was not enough for me to just be going through the Bible and reading it and writing about it every day, which I was at that time doing. But I needed to hide God's Word in my heart, because many battles could be stopped in their tracks if I memorize the Word. And that is why I am such, in addition to reading through the Bible every day, I am one that encourages people to memorize God's Word. And in this reading here today, it talks about the way that I started memorizing it. Still, one of the ways, the best ways for me to memorize a new passage, I don't memorize passages, usually I memorize either verses or a couple of verses together, is singing it. Just making up a song. Making up a song and then singing it over and over again. And now that it has, now that we have these recorders on our smartphone, it makes it even easier. I can make up that little silly song, whatever, you know, not silly, but, you know, it's not a real song. It's just something that I'm singing. And, but when I play it enough, I get to know it, and I do it. But it also talks about walking around the room, marching. Rhythmically marching, that's one way that helps me to memorize scripture. But having someone, test me is one way too. And I talked about this teenage son who is now 35 years old with 3 kids. So that tells you how old even this writing is. But what is said there is very true. By him helping me, and me even having to ask him to help me, he began to see how important Bible was and Bible memory. He saw it in action. It wasn't like me telling him, you know, go read the Bible, go memorize the Bible. All of my kids know that about me, and even my grandkids know about me. If they have any little jokes about me, it always has something to do with, Nana in Bible immersion, Nana in Bible for food, Nana this. But that's fine. You know, I want them to know that I know in my heart that they have to know about their Maker. And if they want to know about their Maker God, they have to know about the one he sent to save him, Jesus. And if they want to know about Jesus, they have to know about his Word. His Word points them to him. And his Word helps them to fight that enemy who is always about prowling around. But let me pray. Father, I do thank you for your Word. I thank you how you grow me. You keep growing me. And I never want to stop growing. Let your Word be a vital part of my day, every day. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.